You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here. You know, just before I sat down to record this episode, I was having a conversation with one of the marketing agencies I work with about a client that they were dealing with. And the client was really eager to put testimonials on their website. And we talked about it, and there wasn't really an easy fit for testimonials in their current makeup of their business. And we started talking about, and I'm going to drop this name again because we love talking about copywriters here. We were talking about these principles that the great copywriter Gary Bensavenga has, which is that there's a lot of different ways to create proof. And we went through the list, and one of the ones that we came up with was probably the one that he speaks to the most often, which is proof through demonstration. And I think there's probably no better way to utilize demonstration than through a case study. And that's what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. And thankfully, since I'm not an expert in this, we have somebody who is, and that's Joel Kletke, who is joining me in today's conversation. In fact, he is so dialed in when it comes, I was trying to like, what are you so? You're so dialed in when it comes to case studies that you've actually built an entire brand around it called Case Study Buddy. Joel, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I'm making some assumptions here that you kind of know Gary Bensavenga and all of that world. And the idea of demonstration and various types of proof, I think, is key to understanding like the way that people are influenced and make decisions. And I'm sort of curious to hear a little bit about why you chose to focus in this particular area of proof and this like even more focused area of case studies.
Yeah. So, I mean, my background is on the copywriting side of things. I worked sort of in the direct response conversion copywriting side of things for a few years prior to Case Study Buddy. And even now, that's really what lights my fire. I still do some auditing and writing and things in that space. And that's what led to the opportunity. I had just wrapped up a project for a company in the hosting space. And someone who sat on the board said, hey, I have this little company that I advise. They need a customer success story. They need a case study. Is that something you do? And he's one of those people that was just like, yeah, for you, sure. I'll, you know, roll up my sleeves and figure it out. I hadn't done one to date, but I thought, you know, how hard can it be? And I found repeatedly in life, anytime you ask that question, you're about to find out. And so it was through that project that my eyes were open to a number of things. I think number one, how many of the conversion principles, how many of these things that you're alluding to, the psychology of how people buy, how many of those things came together to inform that story? I was doing a customer interview just like I'd done for my copywriting projects. I was digging into pain points and experiences just like I'd done, but that storytelling narrative that came out the other side was different. Instruction, I thought that was interesting. It was kind of what I knew, but applied in a different way. And then as I just kind of mentioned, the other thing I realized is like, these are really difficult. There's a lot of different disciplines that intersect to get it done well. You have to be a good interviewer. You have to be a strong writer or a strong video editor. And then surprisingly to me is how much it tested my project management skills with so many moving pieces and stakeholders and people to appease and things to navigate. So I thought, okay, this is difficult to do, which to me immediately made me think, well, there must be a premium to doing it well. If you can do it well, you can charge for it. And then I kind of thought, okay, well, if there's a premium to doing this well, if it can have this conversion type of impact, well, surely someone's kind of planted the flag and said, this is all we do, and we do it really well, and we do it at scale, because there is a repeatable process to it. Yes, it's a lot of moving parts, but you follow the same steps and stages. You tailor to the scenario. But I thought, surely someone's like taken this, boxed it up, and turned it into a service. And when I looked, pretty much a wasteland. There was a handful of people who did it as one more thing in addition to the other assets, but there wasn't really a specialized team. So that's where I thought, okay, this is bringing all together things that I like, I know, I enjoy, there's a challenge to it, there's a demand for it. I'm going to build that team. And that's really where I got started wide-eyed and green, you know, 7+ years ago. There's been a ton of learning since then, and things that have made me better and sharper, made my team better and sharper. But that's really how things began.
So let's talk about, because as you were talking about the background there, you were describing a variation on what I would define as a case study. But I wonder if we can like go to the base element of like, what is a case study? Because what you were describing sounded like a lot of work. And yes, obviously it has to sound like a lot of work because you're trying to sell somebody on you doing the service for them. Well done, by the way. But let's sort of like pull the lens back and understand, like, in the broadest sense, what is a case study?
Yeah. So it's helpful to define it sort of by what it's not as well. So a case study is not a testimonial. It's not a soundbite. It's not just a bit of praise that you slap up on a site or you use strategically even. A case study really needs to have a narrative arc. It's a transformative sort of journey. It's a demonstration of an experience, kind of what you alluded to with what Gary points to. It's a demonstration of proof. It's often, as Jude Charles maybe would categorize it, a dramatic demonstration of proof, because you've got emotion and stakes. You've got this transformation. So it's a story that has a narrative arc. It's a focused story. There's a beginning and an end. There's a clear transformation. There's a clear outcome achieved. And then, done well, it can also be a bit of a recipe book for replicating that success or pulling back the curtain on what made that success possible and how, you know, how you navigated there. So more than a testimonial. I think the other thing that's tricky is that as marketers, we've gotten so used to conflating different terms. I actually don't even really love the term case study. I at this point now prefer customer story, because case study feels so clinical and mm-hmm. one-sided and cold, and here's just what we did. Or let's, you know, it sounds almost more analytical. And it's not that those elements can't be in the story, but I think done well, it's not this cold, clinical, arm's length piece. It's something where the customer is at the center and the narrative is theirs, the proof is theirs. So that's how, you know, I would define it.
So I've seen case studies that range from, and so I want you to kind of tell me, well, that's not really a case study and here's why, or maybe it is, that range from simply like, here was the situation, here are the numbers of like the outcome of the campaign that we did for this client, or here's the outcome of the, you know, the before and the after of what happened with this particular scenario of this customer, client, patient, whatever. I guess patient, you probably couldn't do that, HIPAA requirements and all that. But and it's a quick snapshot. It's not much more than a story that's told with a couple of bullet points, all the way up to white papers and detailed explanation and like the backstory and the, you know, the data and built out with graphs and charts and all of that as well. And probably a lot of stuff in between. And I'm wondering, like, where is it useful? What is in your definition, like which of those actually apply as case studies, et cetera?
Yeah. I think, you know, this is a tricky question, because it's like, well, is there a word count? Is there a minimum criteria? And so the best way for me to try to wrap my own head around it, you know, the way my thinking has kind of evolved on this, is they are flavors of the same thing. And ideally, when we're telling a case study, when anybody listening is telling a case study or sharing a customer story, you're catering your formats to the informational appetite of the audience that's going to consume it. So in some cases, all people have an appetite for is a testimonial, mm-hmm. is that high bit of praise. They're only really hungry for or looking for or ready for an accolade or a bit of substantive, you know, there's a name and a face and someone saying this is legitimate. That snapshot you're alluding to, I'd say that can still be a customer story as long as the customer has their fingerprints on it. It's not just, well, here again is some cold bullets and what we did, and it's an absence of that narrative and their experience. I think to really be, for me anyways, a customer story, their voice has to be present in it, whether that is their quotes, whether that is them, you know, sharing an anecdote to support what you've laid out there. And then all the way up to, you know, what you described, these really, really deep dive pieces, which I think often is what people default to, like, oh, a case study, well, it's got to be this like 3,000 word monolithic stats and charts. And I think certainly that can be, and there's a time and place for that type of asset. But I think it's flavors of the same thing. And I think where marketers often get caught is trying to treat all of these different formats as equal or as equally effective in every scenario, because the reality is that they can't be. Someone who is coming in as a cold lead may not be ready for your deep dive piece. Someone who is very well acquainted with you may not need all of the backstory and decision criteria because they've made that choice. They just need to know what's going to inform that next choice to upgrade or upsell or what have you. So I think you can have many shades and flavors of the same thing as long as the customer is at the heart. It's their experience, and there is that kind of narrative arc and transformation. It's not just we did the work and the result is left up to you to determine. It's not just here's the result and nothing that informs how it was ever achieved. I think those pieces do have to be together in some way, for me anyways, to constitute a customer story, a case study.
Yeah. I think I followed sort of the fact that there's different points at which a prospect needs to have information presented to them in different formats. And so if we think about something like, you know, levels of awareness of a buyer or a buyer's journey or that sort of concept of, all right, they are newly acquainted with the business for the first time and, you know, they don't want to be overwhelmed. Can you kind of guide us through, we'll use the buyer's journey kind of scenario, what, and let's you know, use a typical professional services business, maybe, I don't know, as a CPA firm or something like that, just generic enough so that we all understand kind of those moments in the buying process, what somebody might need to see or what version of a case study or a client story they might need to see in each of these stages.
Yeah, let's take it through the lens of customer proof. So let's say you're a CPA firm and I am a fresh faced, brand new lead. I'm going out to market to choose someone like your firm for the very first time. Probably my first port of call, because I'm trying to narrow down just from a high level, who can be trusted? Like who is reputable? Who has at least some sort of evidence they can point to? So there, before we even get to the case study side of things, there I might be looking at reviews. I might just be looking at, okay, there's a soundbite, there is a testimonial, there is some high level piece of information, some indicator to me that, okay, at very least, this is a company, you know, that is worth considering. They're worth continuing my evaluation process on. As I move down, okay, now you're on my reduced list. Now I'm curious about not only, okay, who is out there and who is reputable, but how do they work and are they, you know, a fit for me? Have they served people like me? So at that stage, what you might see deployed, let's say that this is maybe in the inbound stage or you've just made, you know, contact via cold outreach. That's where something high level, like a one sheet, you know, there's no magical word count, but let's say something 300-ish words, an example of how you've served someone like them, a little bit of insight into, you know, what you performed for them, a quote from them kind of outlining what it is they appreciate or how that happened. And then again, a tangible result now with a specific person advocating for that. So at that stage now for me, I'm going, okay, I can see they've served someone like me. They've gotten a result that I might be interested in. So maybe now I've narrowed down my consideration that much more. Now I might be ready for a more detailed story about the how, a more detailed story about what you claim to be your values, your differentiators. I want to now see that come to life tangibly expressed in reality. So that now is where I might go, okay, I'm ready to have this more deep dive video or this more deep dive piece on, okay, their starting point. Can I relate to where they were coming from? Now this solution section becomes enormously important to me at this point. How did you serve them? What was the thinking behind it? Why these services and not those? Why this approach and not that? What was their experience of not only the outcome that you've made obvious earlier you can deliver, but how did we arrive there? What is it that drove that? And then again, validating with the results. And so those things can happen in quick succession. They can be said, you know, over time. I can go very quickly from, okay, I'm interested, this company's got good reviews. Okay, I now see there's this high level piece, and that high level piece itself might link me off to a deeper video or a deeper story. The two might be embedded right alongside each other. You might have this kind of snapshot format and then a deep dive video next to it. So they don't necessarily have to be You know, it's not necessarily a long journey from one to another, but it's rare to see a case where someone is ready to just plunge into this big, deep, meaty piece, because often they're not thinking that closely just yet. They're just trying to kind of narrow down their options until they can identify who is right for me, who will serve me best, who can I really believe the claims and the values they express and all of that. So from review to snapshot to deep dive, you can kind of follow that trajectory all the way to the point of close. And then after that point, it can start to reverse. So that's where you can kind of go shorter form things. Let's say you're a CPA firm, you're rolling off a new service. You have a new service line you want to sell to existing clients. Well, they've had some experience with you. They don't necessarily need this deep dive piece again. That's where, again, a one sheet kind of expressing, hey, again, someone like you made the decision to take this on with us. Maybe it's new. We've got some proof behind it. And now, you know, that it can kind of reverse. So, you know, that's where the informational needs can change as they get to know you, as they get to understand you, as they narrow down their options.
You just introduced a concept there that I hadn't really considered, which is case studies for existing clientele to be able to cross sell, upsell, et cetera. And so that's brilliant. And that did sound awfully complex, and therefore you proved your worth. So I want to understand a little bit more about kind of how this process works in terms of like building out case studies. I've had a chance to look through your site, and there's a lot of things that you do that I wouldn't have necessarily thought, oh, well, that's, you know, that's an obvious part of the of the program. You've mentioned interviews a couple of times already. I see illustration, like visual illustration of data, interviews. So it's not always just text, and you've referenced length of text, but you do a lot of video work as well. How do you approach a project?
Yeah, so typically, and if you want to, you know, as a listener, you want to approach a project, this is kind of how to think about it. And we'll keep it as simple as we can, because it doesn't have to be rocket science. There are just things you want to consider to set yourself up well. Because if you remember nothing else about this, it's the expectations you set at the outset dramatically impact your success on the other side. Too many people leap into the creation piece when what you ought to be doing is starting with the strategy and how you make the ask and how you set the expectation. So let's talk briefly about that. The first step is to think, before we go ask any customer to be involved, what are our business goals and what kinds of stories will support them? At its simplest, few people stop to ask that, but it's not just any old win you want to showcase. If you have a goal to support a new service, emphasize part of your offering, or talk about a vertical you serve. Let's say, again, you're a CPA firm, but you specialize in, I don't know, complex international business. You want to tell stories along with that. So start by looking internally and saying, what types of stories are actually going to move the needle for us? And make a short list of, okay, these are the goals we have. And from there, now you've got a better opportunity to go, these are the customers we have that might fit these types of stories. From there, it's about making the ask. And again, to keep this at its simplest, your goal is to be specific. So why them and why now? Take fear out of the equation. You're not asking everyone. When you make that ask, you want to say, here's exactly what it is about our relationship that we think is noteworthy, that we think is exceptional. Here's exactly, you know, if you're willing, what we'd love to be able to share in the story. And here's exactly kind of when we would love for this to be able to go live. And what you've done in being specific there is given them something specific to agree with or object to, so you can have a more meaningful conversation about how you navigate that. Now, if they say no, it's about, okay, was it something in the content that you're nervous about, or was it something about the process? Now you can have more of a dialogue to get you to that end result. So making that specific, personal, and succinct ask of them. From there, we will never do a story without an interview, and I'm a strong advocate that you shouldn't either. This is not a you story, it's a customer story. So getting them on the call, and then in a tight window, half hour to 45 minutes, running them through kind of the infomercial, you know, great copywriters know this, the before, the during, and the after. What did life look like before? What were their decision criteria? One of the important things you can find out, marketers, is the stakes of getting it wrong. What would have happened if they were inactive? Because your enemy is often inaction, not necessarily a competitor. So capturing that interview, walking them through before, during, and after. From there, from this point on, most important thing you can do is be fast. The faster you produce, the faster it's in front of them, the less time there is for their priorities to shift and change and for them to say no. So from now, you know, from that point on, you'll turn in your first draft or your first cuts of video to your internal team or to yourself. Make sure you're satisfied with the story and how they're presented. You want to make sure you take it back to them. Make sure they're happy with how they're presented and the story that you've told and the way that, you've disclosed things. And then move into, okay, now finalizing design or the final assets and so on and so forth. For us, and to kind of close this off, one of the most important things we feel like you can do, I mentioned velocity, is have a process that supports capturing video and collateral for written alongside each other if your customer is willing to do that. Don't do one interview to capture, you know, the information for a written piece and then come back 3 months later and try to get them on camera. If you can do that concurrently, that saves everyone time, that allows you to move more quickly. It leaves less room for something to veer off the rails. So that's kind of the, you know, the end-to-end start to finish process.
There's a lot of detail there. And one of the things that I want to circle back on, because I think it's really important to highlight, is if you have a customer who's been through the process already, I'm sorry, I should speak Canadian, process already, and they have sort of been recalibrated into the new reality that your business has brought them, right? It's really important to be able to get them to articulate where they were previously. And that is one of the things with testimonials, with case studies and other kind of proof from an existing customer that I think gets overlooked a lot by businesses and marketers, is making sure that they're speaking to the place where the recipient of that information is at that moment. Otherwise it's a miss. It's a disconnect.
Massively. Yeah. I mean, so much of our time in an interview will go into, yeah, everyone wants to fix it on the results. Everyone wants the big sexy metric. Everybody thinks that that's the most important part of the story. And it is important to demonstrate an outcome or some ROI. But we spend a lot of time trying to explore and probe not only where were they at, but how did that feel? And again, the stakes, the tension, what was the stakes of making the wrong decision? What, you know, what was the stakes of doing nothing? And then similarly, we want to now, once we've set that stage, this also gets overlooked. So many people focus on just the KPI, the metric and the result. But you've learned earlier on, again, how this felt and what it looked like in real life and what that challenge actually kind of manifested itself in their day-to-day work life or in their business or what have you. You want to revisit that. How did that picture get repainted? It's like, okay, you know, let's say you save them 300 hours a year. That's a nice metric. What did that mean? What can they do now or do better? How about all those tensions and stressors? And, you know, how have those changed now? And so going for, you know, the impact beyond the ROI, what did that make possible? How did that change your day-to-day? How did that change your boss's day-to-day? That's where a lot of value can be added as well, because it's not just cold bullet, nice metric. It's now, here is this transformation. Here is this story. And for a lead or a prospect who's feeling those intensely now, the promise not only of an outcome, but of alleviation of pain or fear or stress or worry or frustration can be just as attractive, if not more valuable to the story. So yeah, you're keying in on a really big and important thing there.
And it helps to remind everybody that, you know, people don't buy based on logic, they buy based on emotion, right? And so you're finding ways to create that emotion in the prospect as they're consuming however the case study is being presented, because there's emotion that is being communicated through that person's or that business's story. I'm going to shift gears. I want to understand, because I have an opinion on this, but I want to hear yours. What about a new business or a business that hasn't had the type of success story that is worth sharing in the form of a case study yet?
Yeah, I think you don't want to manufacture, you know, you don't want to fake it. I don't think you want to paint a picture that's not true to life or an outcome you can't deliver on yet. But I think in this early stage, some of the most important things you can be doing is laying the groundwork for that to come in the future. The number of companies that I talk to that now have to move backwards and put processes in place to even identify what customer pains are, or track the trajectory, or keep track of why they came in the first place. It's painful and it's hard to go in reverse. So if you are an earlier stage company, if you don't have those wins yet, that doesn't mean you sit inactive until one shows up. I think you want to be really intentional about when you onboard a new customer, capturing, documenting, and sharing as appropriate across teams. What brought them in? What are their goals? What are they feeling most painfully and acutely? And then as they achieve even micro wins along the way, little aha moments or smaller moments where something, a difference has been made, there's nothing stopping you from capturing that as a testimonial, getting them to put up their hand in some small way earlier in the process. And most importantly to me, normalizing the giving of feedback and the sharing of that to your audience. So making it normal to talk about impact, ROI, how things are trending, that sets a great expectation for the future. So when you come back and ask for a case study, they don't feel like you're an alien swinging in for a favor. They're used to talking with you about how things are going and what kind of ROI they're seeing.
So I heard, you know, set up a system to collect that data, even, you know, from the beginning, so that you don't have to go back and recreate those scenarios, and also creating, I guess, both habits and culture around this, so that it makes sense. It's an obvious thing when that ask is eventually made. That's
culture
great.
Of feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of ways to utilize case studies. We've been talking about sort of the, for lack of a better word, kind of the marketing or sales funnel and sharing, revealing this information. You also added, you know, kind of the upsell, cross-sell opportunity when you already have an existing client. I wonder if you have a few examples, because I know you have many, of a less common or less obvious, you know, application for case studies.
Yeah, I think one of my favorites is we just finished talking about culture. And we see some clients and some companies using these in training to show this is what a positive experience looks like. This is what a difference made looks like. This is what a happy customer sounds like for us. It's not only a great morale boost to share these internally to existing team members, but when you're hiring someone new, being able to show them like, this is the transformation we make possible. These are the pains alleviated. These are, you know, this is the way our ideal client base talks about what we do. That can be tremendously valuable. And as a copywriter, I would be remiss also not to say, like, all of these interviews that you will wind up conducting wind up being just fantastic for positioning and for copywriting and informing, you know, different campaigns. Another application that really surprised me as a copywriter is I really had hung my hat on landing pages and sales letters. And anytime we were running an ad campaign, that's always where I went. We had a client start deploying customer stories in their remarketing. So bringing people back instead of to a landing page, bringing them back directly into a story. And it was their best performing remarketing ad campaign. They were really smart about how they segmented, how they kind of, if someone expressed through their actions on a site a particular interest or pain, bringing them back into a relevant story. And that was really interesting to see that work so well. I hadn't thought of that. And now it's something that, you know, we encourage people to try, you know, deploy it and see how that works. So that internal sort of use case, that remarketing sort of use case. And then another one that I found interesting, especially, you know, whether it's professional services or software, there's a ton of overlap here in that for a lot of companies, sales are really cyclical, or there's really long buying periods, and it can be really difficult to stay top of mind. Like, let's say you're in insurance. What are you going to send someone or a prospect throughout an entire year to stay top? Like, no one wants to hear about insurance all of that time period, in the same way that, like, nobody wants a software that they demoed and churned out from to just keep hitting them with stuff. But we've seen a lot of success in kind of recapturing lost interest, whether it's seasonal, whether it's a period of time between when they came and interviewed with you or did a bit of a discovery with you and then left. We've found that some clients are reaching out with a story just to say, hey, I was reminded of our conversation 3 months, 4 months, 6 months ago. I know you didn't ultimately take action there, but I just wanted to share, you know, we've had this recent win. It reminded me of the story you were telling me on our call. Is it worth kind of reconnecting on this? Are these things still an issue for you? So kind of that win back strategy was again something that I didn't realize was an opportunity until we saw clients doing it. And now, you know, it seems obvious in hindsight.
There's some brilliant stuff in there, and I'm looking forward to going back and listening to what you just said again in the recording, because I'm gonna borrow some of that. For folks who are interested in learning more about you and maybe insights into other ways to utilize case studies, where can they get more?
Yeah, check out definitely casestudybuddy.com. We have a blog there. And if I've made anything sound needlessly complex, that blog does a really good job of narrowing in and making it simple. So I've got a great team. We take some of these meatier issues like getting buy-in or how do you tell a story and broken them into something really simple that you can take and go and use. It's not a big sales pitch. So definitely check that out. LinkedIn is another place that I don't always answer right away, but I do always answer. So feel free to connect and try and stump me. I mean, across 2,000 plus stories, we've seen a lot that works and doesn't. And so always happy to share there. And Case Study Buddy also has a newsletter that we send out once or twice a month. And there we kind of showcase, you know, great examples, innovative ideas, some of this how, you know, how to type stuff, go do this sort of thing. So those are some resources that if these are on your slate for the coming year, for your next quarter, whatever it might be, tons of practical stuff that will enable you to go and do a great job of it.
Awesome. So again, the website is casestudybuddy.com. Joel Klecky, thank you so very much. This has been fun.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Indeed, folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you know someone who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, please share this with them. Until next time, my name is David Baer. We'll see you soon. Bye bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.